Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Bigs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford hotline. Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, Bears, I don't know. Are we calling it an elimination game? David said
yes.
That early in the week.
I think so.
One of these two teams is in trouble.
The problem I have with calling it an elimination game, guys, is that even with a win, there's no clear path to the playoffs for either one of these teams. You know, to me, I think elimination game, that means, oh, one of them's out, but one of them's really got a good shot of heading there, and I don't know that that's the case either way here for the 4-5 Bears or the 5-4 Rams.
That's probably true, but I think if you lose, you have no path. There's not even something you could see out from the rubble, because you're buried. And the Bears have to do a lot of things, but one of them involves running the football, Brad. And yesterday we find out that David Montgomery has a lightly rolled ankle. What did you think about the way that Matt Nagy described that, and how concerned are you that they may not have him?
Well, it's a lightly rolled ankle when it's your ankle that's rolled, not my ankle. That's my first reaction. You know, David Montgomery injured in practice on Wednesday and sits out practice yesterday. Perhaps we'll get a little more information on him today, but that's the one thing Nagy's been pretty consistent about throughout his year and a half with the Bears. Doesn't share a whole lot of injury information. Look, he says that they're still collecting information on Danny Trevathan. If that's the case, they should see if their doctors can get their players in for sooner appointments. But they need Montgomery. There's no question about that. And if he can't go, you're looking at a situation where I think Cordarrelle Patterson's probably getting more action in the backfield. You're using Tariq Cohen for specific runs. And potentially you've got to consider Ryan Nall. Remember, it was last Saturday that they cut Mike Davis in order to gain a draft pick this coming April.
Yeah, I got to tell you, they basically take back the draft pick they gave up to move up for Montgomery, right? So they gave up a fourth rounder in this year's draft, and they get it back.
Yeah, I mean, same round, but
later.
Probably a difference of, you know, could be 15 to 20 picks. Yeah.
If you lightly roll an ankle, does it help you run, Fluffy?
Very funny.
I don't know, but they do need to have balance against what is a talented Rams defense. We all know about the struggles on offense that the Rams have had. Everyone knows they've lost four of their last six games, and those two wins came against the Falcons and the Bengals, two of the worst teams in the league. So they're in a tough spot right now themselves. They've got their own running back that's clearly not at 100%, and Todd Gurley doesn't show the same explosive traits that he has previously in his career. So it's going to be an interesting game between a couple of really good defenses and a couple of struggling offenses.
Brad, who has a bigger chance of dominating this game individually, Khalil Mack against a banged-up Rams offensive line or Aaron Donald against a reconfigured Bears offensive line?
Well, I mean, I'd flip a coin on that. You're talking about two of the very best players.
Well, I'm asking you to call heads or tails. One or the other.
You know, the problem I have with that is, while I know the Rams' offensive line is beat up, I haven't seen them play a whole lot. I'll go with Mac. You know, I think so too. Been relatively quiet the past few games, and I'm sure he's interested in a breakout game on national TV.
When you look at Jared Goff and you start thinking about their attack, you know, they're not using Gurley like they've used him before. He's not a workhorse. Now they got injuries on the offensive line. The Bears want this game in Gurley's hands, right? Or they want this game in Goff's hands, I should say.
Yeah, no question about that. Goff has not been as accurate as he's been previous in his career. Really accurate passer coming into this season. He's at just over 60%. The turnovers are up for Jared Goff as well. I think he's got 14 turnovers on the season when you combine lost fumbles and 9 interceptions for him. So, yeah, I talked about it briefly yesterday. The play-action passing game has not been there for him. He's had injuries to their deep threat, Brandon Cooks, who will not play Sunday night. So that takes the guy who's the speed element in that passing game away. And a lot of teams have sort of mimicked what Vic Fangio did a year ago when the Bears really throttled this Rams offense at Soldier Field. And they're using basically the same game plan. They're playing their safeties a little bit lower to help cut off crossing routes. And, Bill Belichick borrowed from that in the Super Bowl against the Rams. And in L.A. has yet to really adapt and find another way to attack defenses. And it's really starting to show now as they're struggling.
Brad, before we get to your pick, you obviously covered the league, and last night the big ejection of Myles Garrett and the violence on the field with swinging the helmet and hitting Mason Rudolph. What do you expect discipline to be, and what was your reaction?
Well, my initial reaction was that I thought the officiating could have done a better job of controlling that game earlier. There were some violent hits that should have been flagged that were not flagged. Does that prevent that from happening there at the end? I don't know, but I think clearly the Steelers were frustrated with the way some of that went. I'd be really surprised if we see Myles Garrett on the field again this season. I think when the league looks at discipline, anything you start with is going to have to be for the remainder of the 2019 season, because that's just so far out of bounds what he did there that the league needs to send a message, and he's got to sit in the timeout corner for a while and think about what he did.
So what's the pick, Brad? How are you breaking down this game? Very curious.
Yeah, I think the number's a little high. It was 6.5.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I think it is. Yeah, it sounds a little bit high to me, especially when the Rams offense is struggling as it is, and the Bears defense is playing pretty good ball. So I ended up picking the Rams to win, but I think it's going to be a close, low-scoring affair, similar to what we had last year between these teams at Soldier Field. I picked LA 16-13.
Hmm. What? So that means you don't expect the offense from the Bears to be able to
no three touchdowns.
Produce. Yeah, that's 13 points. That's a
bad
day.
They're not playing the Lions, so they're on the road. Although I'd expect there to be an awful lot of Bears fans for a road game in LA.
Won't it feel like a home game to some degree? I mean, they will travel well, and the Rams don't have a home field advantage yet.
I don't know that the Rams. Yeah, I mean, I think the Rams have got a decent fan base that's developing out there. I don't think it's going to be a stadium completely overrun with Bears fans, but I think there'll be a lot of them there for sure.
I keep saying to David, I think it's going to be a special teams play or a defensive play, or it could be a turnover type game. You know?
Every punt's an adventure, or every time the Rams line up for a punt, it's an adventure. Johnny Hecker throws the ball. Like Chris Tabor, the special teams coordinator, said that they don't view what Hecker does as fake punts. They view them as offensive plays, and they've got to be prepared to play defense. Yeah, they ran a fake successfully against the Bears in the game a year ago. They had to bring out the chains to measure for it. It was close. The Rams got it, but Hecker is a dynamic athlete in terms of being a punter. No question about that.
Good matchup. I just don't have a lot of faith in Jared Goff. I just think that, and I don't have a lot of faith in Mitch Trubisky either.
Where's your faith in Trubisky?
But see, I cannot have confidence in Goff, and that could be independent of the lack of confidence in Trubisky. I think that when
you can't mention the first without the second.
But it's not Goff versus Trubisky. I think that when you talk about Khalil Mack's chance to dominate more than Aaron Donald, that to me says the Bears' defensive line can win this game for them.
That's possible. Something.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly possible.
How would the matchup between Allen Robinson and Jalen Ramsey be?
Well, that's going to be – I think Robinson's going to have a few chances to make some plays, but that's going to be really interesting because how are the officials going to call it? Are they going to allow Ramsey to be super physical, which is what he prefers? You know, he's a big corner. He's 6'1". He's about close to 210. So Robinson's a little bit bigger, but that'll be a fascinating matchup. And just as important, how can some of the secondary players that the Bears have at wide receiver and in the passing game step up for Mitch Trubisky?
They don't apparently have any tight ends, so they're not stepping up.
Interesting pick, Brad. Have a safe trip and have fun out there.
Have fun, Brad.
All right, guys, have a great weekend.
Get some sun. That's our guy, Brad Biggs, from the Chicago Tribune. I mean, I'm just saying, it's nicer there than it is here. Look outside the window.
The sun is shining. It's blue skies. It's a beautiful mid-November day in Chicago.
What will the weather be?
What happened to your big cheek? You came in all happy. The glass is half full. It's a beautiful day outside.
I'm always half full.
It's just a little cold.
I'm always half full of it. What's wrong with you?
Got a Molly high, and high temperature of 87 on Sunday in Los Angeles, but it's a night game, of course, so it'll be closer to about 65.
Yeah. Nice.
But, I mean, Brad will be there before the game starts.
Yeah, I mean, 87 and sunny high on Sunday.
I picture Brad, like, renting a convertible. That's just the way I see him. And he's on a freeway.
Driving down the 405.
Chomping on a stogie.
Got a cigar.
And he's just living life.
Yeah.
That sounds like...
Now that is Biggs time, my friend.
It's for you. And he has the song going as he sits in the car. Biggs time. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
They did a wonderful job, obviously, did a great job. And to hold that team that obviously is so explosive to what they held them to, they did a phenomenal job. And the guys put a great plan together. The guys went out and executed that plan, and he switched it up on them. You know, he defended them a little bit different than most people would generally defend different personnel groups. You know, so mixing that up and continuing to mix that up, and then the guys going out and executing that plan was good football.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That sounds a lot like Chuck Pagano.
That was Chuck Pagano.
Oh, it was.
Yes, talking about the challenge of facing the Rams offense and talking about the success that Vic Fangio, his predecessor, had in defending it last year at Soldier Field. Everybody remembers that, right? It was a highlight of the season.
Where are you on Chuck Pagano?
Well, I think that Chuck Pagano is somebody that is grown in importance, as you know, Mully. I mean, when you're missing talent, you have to compensate with scheme, and you try to. It's easy to call defenses. I think easier to call defenses when you have Akeem Hicks in the middle and Danny Trevathan is the guy that you're communicating your defense to. When you lose those two guys, it's just not going to look the same, and it's not going to be the same. So I think the pressure has increased on Chuck Pagano to be the guy that is more aggressive. And, you know, you called for him last week to be more of a blitz-oriented scheme-type approach against the Lions, and I think that was smart. He's got now
a especially when the quarterback was changed, right?
More so, more so. And we didn't know that when you were talking about it all week. You know, we thought that Matthew Stafford was going to come in as the NFL's leading passer, and the only way to kind of knock him off rhythm was to come after him and come after him again. And when Jeff Driscoll replaced him, you had even more of a mandate to kind of confuse a young quarterback and harass him into making mistakes. Now, with Jared Goff, what is the plan? Well, if you look back to what Fangio did and what Pagano was referencing, it was interesting because it wasn't necessarily that approach. It wasn't the I'm going to bring everything but in the kitchen sink against Jared Goff, and I'm going to challenge him to respond. It was, I'm going to drop down a defensive lineman. I'm going to have six guys on the line of scrimmage, and I'm going to have one linebacker. And that 61 old-school defensive approach is going to confuse them, take away Todd Gurley, and I'm going to play a soft zone behind them, either you know with quarters or thirds, however you want to do that, and I'm going to make them I'm going to keep everything in front of us, and I'm going to make them make mistakes. I'm going to frustrate this quarterback. And you know what? It worked. And it worked so well that Bill Belichick copied it in the Super Bowl, and that was part of the reason they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl.
So will Chuck Pagano copy it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
See, because once you're beaten by something, you're prepared how to combat it, right? So how could the Rams, if it was just 11 months ago, how could they let that happen again? So they're ready probably to, if they see that look, this is how we beat that look. If we, because they were not beaten by it only once, they were beaten by it twice. And that was the blueprint everybody copied with Fangio, not just Belichick, but that was the way that you fought the genius of Sean McVay, is that, all right, we're going to play this defense, we're going to keep everything in front of us, and we're going to confuse Goff in the offensive line. I don't know if you can do that again.
Well, and they got issues on the offensive line. I'm back to my go after them mode, right? I really feel like the Bears can't be aggressive on offenses. All due respect to what the head coach wants to do, and every play is going to be a big play. I just am not sure that's going to work. You know, they're down on, they don't have any tight ends. The running game could be not functional. I worry about how the Bears are going to hold up against that defense. I would love to see the Bears force the issue on defense and go after a team with issues on the offensive line and try to take advantage of the opponent as opposed to trying to keep everything in front of them. Go after them.
I don't think it's such a bad idea this week because you're also, when you do that, you increase the big play possibilities. But you don't have a wide receiver there that is capable of big plays. Brandon Cooks is out.
Yeah.
That is a good thing for the Bears. Now, you do have Robert Woods there. You do have you know, Josh Reynolds. You do have opportunities to exploit one-on-one coverages, but they don't scare you as much as maybe Brandon Cooks would. Cooper Kupp is the thing that you have to worry about.
That's
He's somebody that can get going in the passing game. But you can play, you can do different things. You know, he is consistent, but is he the big play threat that scares you downfield as a deep guy? I don't know. But I think you could still come after them and be comfortable that Jared Goff might throw you the ball.
312-644-6767 is the number. Jack is on the road. Good morning, Jack.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, good morning. Great show. I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's interesting about Chuck Pagano. If I had to sum it up like real quick, I'd say C+, and I would expect a lot better from Chuck Pagano with his experience with the pro, at the pro level. And can I say a couple of extra things that haven't really been talked about too much about the Bears?
Mm-hmm.
Offense, and this isn't just one time or last game. I see a pattern that they're not able to close out a game where they get the first down, where they, you know, they can run the clock down. It always seems to be, even last year, they're one play away from disaster. You know, remember last year in the Packer game, you know how they dominated, they won that game. But Aaron Rodgers was one pass away from tying the game or winning the game. I can't remember. Same thing last week. They're always, you know, the guys, like, they're always walking that ice edge or whatever it is. Come on, guys, you can do better. And that's, it just bugs me. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jack.
Thanks for the phone call. You know, I think with Pagano, I wonder, and I hesitate to hold him responsible for the stunted growth of a Roquan Smith, for the, you know, artificial ceiling that is seems to be over Leonard Floyd's potential. I don't know if it's fair to assign him responsibility for their lack of progress. I think we do that with coaches and players. I think we sometimes... You know, if they were succeeding, we would say, well, look at what he's doing in Chuck Pagano's defense. So when it's in, is the reverse true? Because Roquan's not being as dangerous as you thought he could be, if Leonard Floyd has not made that step that he needed to make, is that partly Pagano's responsibility or fault?
That's, I would say yes, if it wasn't for the fact that going into the season, there were like a handful of players that I thought really had to step up. And I thought, obviously, Mitch is the first one. So you can't blame that on Chuck Pagano, right?
Right.
But I thought that they needed to have better with some of these off. I thought Anthony Miller was going to be better.
Sure.
I thought that they'd get something out of a tight end. You know, with, I thought Adam Shaheen was kind of now or never. And then you throw in Leonard Floyd and you throw in Roquan. I honestly thought that Roquan was going to be phenomenal this year. And Leonard Floyd looked pretty good at camp. There's
well, let's face it,
there.
That when you talk about the Bears defense, and I think everybody can agree that nine games in, there's a relative disappointment in their performance.
Yes.
But and you understand injuries are part of the equation they didn't have to deal with. You understand Hicks. You understand Trevathan even. What is hard to accept, and I think what has limited them as much as anything, is those two guys. First-round draft picks that you really – were expecting more out of this year
in terms of
taking a leap, and they haven't taken that leap.
And so, but when I conclude, when I talk about those five players, and I conclude that none of them took the step, then I got to turn to Ryan Pace. I can't look at the coaching right now.
That's
interesting. I got to maybe look at the guy who's picking them.
Oh, you found him? You found Ryan Pace? If you're looking at him, that means you've located Ryan Pace.
Well, we're going to be looking at Joe Fortenbaugh in a few minutes.
Excellent. Yes, we are. Very well done. Kevin, you were going to give us a scoreboard update. How is your podcast going?
I hear
you've got a good podcast.
I do have a great podcast. Thank you for asking. We recorded the newest episode.
Oh, we did.
Screamers and Howlers yesterday.
Oh.
Go check that out on Twitter, Screamer Howler.
It wasn't really about games. It was more, we had more theoretical issues going on.
We're big picture guys.
We
are. You know, we're always looking at the macro.
That's us.
That's us.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you, buddy. Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Joe Fortenbaugh is our man in Vegas by way of the Bay Area, 95.7 The Game. You see him on the four-letter network, the Daily Wager, and of course you've been hearing him here for years. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Morning, Joe.
I was doing great, and then I just got 5 minutes from your producer, Dustin, on his Steelers-Pelicans parlay from last night.
Oh,
so,
boy.
I don't know how I'm going to get that time back, but I will say this. I make my jokes. I make my jokes, but he did reach out to me last night. He says he has a hunch on the Pelicans, and I'm thinking to myself, good grief. I've watched a lot of these Pelican games this season. They have been brutal, and yet he knocked it out of the park with that one. So I make my jokes. But I also got to give out the round of applause when a guy comes through like that.
Got to respect a little Pelican insight.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah,
or worry.
670 to score, your source for New Orleans Pelicans information.
Oh, boy, he's got a feeling. All right, Joe.
Load management.
Uh-huh. Hey, what are the odds that a guy's going to tear a helmet off a quarterback and try to hit him over the head with it? Hit him over the head with it. What am I saying? Try.
Well, I'll tell you what, from that angle, I'm sure that you're going to have some of these offshore sports books set up lines and odds on how long the suspension is going to be because it gets great promotion for them. A lot of times you see these quirky prop surface and everyone's, oh my God, can I actually bet that? Well, you can, but probably for a max of $50. Like, the whole point of that is for you to talk about that product, talk about that brand. It's free marketing, and then as a result, they're going to cap. And they're going to cap you hard at how heavy you can go on that bet. So they get a lot of bonus out of that. But, I mean, you're watching that game last night, and this is what we're all talking about today. How long's the suspension? How out of line is that? Do you ban them? Do you file assault charges? My thought is that the NFL is going to have its cake and eat it too here. You're going to come out, and as the league, you've got to send a stern message that there's no place for violence in a violent football game. So they'll probably suspend him. I would guess it would be smart to suspend him in the next season. Give him like 10 games, set the record. That will give the people what they want. Then here comes the union. The union will file the appeal. The union will lay out its case. They'll want to do so quietly because, remember, the union's job is to stand up for the players. And if they're standing up for the players, they are standing up for player safety. But at the same time that they're standing up for player safety, they're telling you to reduce the suspension of a guy who just swung a helmet at a guy who wasn't wearing a helmet. So it's this unbelievable paradox of hypocrisy that's going to be taking place. And then what you figure is that the league will come down on the suspension to 6 games so that he's out for the rest of the year, but you're not going to want to carry it in the next season because you don't want this story and this image lasting past this year. So you deal with it now, you hand out the big suspension, you reduce it on appeal, and you hand out big money fines, and everyone goes on its way. The news cycle in America today, this will happen, and then by Monday we'll be talking about something else. So the NFL will make it as tidy as humanly possible.
Well, Joe, speaking of mixed messages with PR and implications, with Colin Kaepernick working out Saturday in Atlanta, are there odds on his next home? What do you think about that whole thing?
You're going to have, again, this is like the offshore guys will put some stuff up on this because it'll get them some good marketing, some good promotion. So you'll have a chance to see what his next home is. A lot of people were making the comment last night prior to what happened at the end of the game that with the way Rudolph was playing, maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers would get involved in that workout. I think what you're going to have here is that this isn't just a workout. This is kind of, you know, throwing a line into the water to see if anybody bites. And what I mean by that is, how is the media and how, more importantly, are the sponsors going to respond to this workout? So if you send 10, 15 teams down there, Colin works out. It turns out, say, you're a fan of the Patriots, and the Patriots are going to be down there. How does that fan base respond? And then, more importantly, how does Anheuser-Busch respond? Because they were very upset when this was all taking place last time. And when the NFL is threatened financially, that's when you're going to see them move quick and move swift. So I think this is basically, let's get an idea of where we are here. Let's take the temperature, and if it's not that bad when it comes to the outrage, I got a feeling that you won't see him sign now, but next summer he'll get another workout, and that's when he would end up on a team. If all goes according to plan and there's not a ton of outrage, but if there's a ton of outrage, there's no chance. No one's going to want to take an opportunity. The most telling thing here is the fact that these teams that have been interested in wanting to work him out aren't calling his agent. They're calling the league. That's very bizarre that you would call the league to see if it's okay if you work this guy out when the league's been telling us there's been no collusion. I find that to be very strange.
Yeah, that's something else. Where are we investing our money, Joe? Let's get down to the brass tacks here.
Well, let's start with this. How about the Bears last week? I came on. You guys are all dejected. You're telling me I don't know.
You made it happen.
It's not looking good. And then the Bears go out there and handle their business. We cash that one. Now, let's also be very clear, and we'll get to the college picks second. The college picks are still garbage. You got to go the other way on me with the college picks. So I'm going to give you a few where you can go the other way. But the NFL, we're red hot. We had a really good week last week, and that's where we're going to start. I'll start with the prime game, which is the Bears and the Rams. I'm going to play the under here. It's 40 points. I don't think it's the most secretive element here that both offenses have been struggling. Primetime game, you know you're going to get the effort from the Bear defense. And the key to this entire operation is going to be that Rams offense. We've got to stop looking at them for what they were and start looking at them for what they are. And they're not very good. They can't protect very well. Jared Goff doesn't move very well. Brandon Cooks, the wide receiver, has got the concussion issues. Todd Gurley's nowhere near 100%. They came off the bye at Pittsburgh last week and lost that game outright as, 3.5, 4-point favorites. We had that game as well. We were on the Steelers. That was a good side for us. And the Rams are showing you that when they go against good defenses, look at the Niner game, they only scored 7 points. Look at the Steeler game. The Steelers play really good defense at home this season. They have not been able to produce. That team, much like Dallas, works through the running game, or at least last year that's how Dallas was. If the running game's going, the offense is going. And if you can't get that running game going, Jared Goff can't get it done, and Sean McVay does not look like the boy wonder everyone claimed him to be. So the Bears are going to go in there defensively. They're going to create a lot of pressure. They're going to put themselves in a very good opportunity to keep this game close. Whether or not you want to take the 7, if I'm doing anything with the points, I'm probably taking it with the Bears. That's a lot of points to lay when a home team doesn't have a great home field advantage. I'd imagine there will be a lot of Chicago fans in L.A. for this. And at the same time, it's a lot of points to lay with a bad offense. So I'm thinking under, because I don't need to give you guys the rundown on how the Bears' offense has been playing. I'm sure you've talked about that quite a bit over the last few weeks. But the key is the Bear defense limiting the Ram offense. I see that happening. I'm going under 40 points. I'm not playing the side, but if I were, I do lean to the Bears because, like I said, a lot of points to lay with a bad offense and very little home field advantage. Game number 2, don't tell anyone locally I'm doing this, but I'm taking the Cardinals plus the 10.5 against the Niners. Niners are on the short week here, coming off the Monday night loss to Seattle. Now, the Arizona Cardinals are not a very good football team, but the situation is in our favor because of the short week. And then in addition to that, take a look at what happened to Jimmy Garoppolo last week when he lost his top 2 pass catchers. George Kittle didn't play. Emmanuel Sanders left with injury. That was Garoppolo's lowest completion percentage of the season and his lowest yards per attempt average of the season. That's not a coincidence. The rest of these guys are very inconsistent wide receivers. They can't catch. Like, that's kind of a prerequisite to the wide receiver job in the NFL. You got to be able to catch the ball. And they're dropping the ball all over the place. Marquise Goodwin can't be trusted. Dante Pettis looks like a total bust right now. And Deebo Samuel is nice, but he's a rookie that still makes some mistakes. So that's a lot of points to lay on a short week against a divisional opponent that just gave you all you could handle. They've got Green Bay on deck. They're banged up. The passing game's probably going to struggle a little bit. Take the 10.5 with Arizona. Game number 3. Lay the big number with Minnesota. They're an absolute wagon when they play at home. Look at how they've added. They 4 double-digit wins at home. The defense is outstanding at home. They're massacring people. I know they're coming off that Dallas win. That probably inflated the line a little bit. Denver's off the bye. I'm not buying into them. They've been terrible on the road. I think they're averaging about 16 points per game away from Mile High. Brandon Allen's their quarterback. He got that one start 2 weeks ago, his first career start. He beats the Browns, but let's be honest. The Browns. I don't really need to say a whole lot else. I mean, they win that game last night, and you can't even give themselves a moment of glory before they're already tarnished across the world for what happened at the end of that game. Ugh. So Allen's going to go to Minnesota. He's not going to be able to deal with the crowd noise. That's going to be a huge problem. I think the Vikings massacre Denver in that game. And then number 4, it's going to be Miami plus the points. If you can get the 7, that'd be great. I'd still take the 6.5. You know, going back to the year 2000, Buffalo has played 256 road games. Now, if I have that correct, I have the notes in front of me. 256 road games since the year 2000. In those 256 road games, they've been favored 22 times. 22 times. To put that in perspective, New England's been favored in every single road game they played this year, including Sunday in Philadelphia. 22 times they've been a favorite in 256 road games. That's just 14%. But as a favorite of 6.5 or more, that's only happened 4 times, which is 2.5%. So you're telling me you got this crazy outlier situation. The team on the other side of the field must be awful, or the Bills must be awesome. The Bills are not awesome. They're okay. And the Dolphins are not as bad as everyone thinks they are. They're being undervalued. We had them last week, plus the points against the Colts. They won the game outright. They've won two straight. They've covered five straight. They're competent. This is a lot of points to lay. And when the total's sitting out there at 39 or 40, you're telling me I could have a home team that's playing well with a touchdown in my pocket? I'll take it. So the four NFL picks, Dolphins plus the points against the Bills, lay it with Minnesota over Denver, take it with Arizona over the Niners, and then the under in the Rams-Bears game.
Okay, Joe, how about the college game quickly, or as you referred to it, hashtag Fadenbaugh.
Fadenbaugh, yeah, you're going the other way on all these until further notice. I like Iowa minus three against Minnesota. Minnesota coming off the huge win against Penn State. That was one of the few we got right last week. I think they're partying, they're celebrating, they're having a good time, and now they're going to Kinnick. That place can be a house of horrors if you're not ready to go. Iowa minus three. Game number two, I'm taking Baylor plus 10.5 against Oklahoma. They're getting 10.5 at home. They're undefeated. And oh, by the way, an undefeated team, what are they, like 12th in the college playoff rankings? Matt Rule is a fantastic head coach. Success at Temple. Now he's having success at Baylor, which looked to be a program that was pretty much going to suffer the death penalty. And they're sitting behind a two-loss Auburn team, as well as several one-loss teams. Ultimate disrespect. This is a big game. Take the points with Baylor. Take the 5.5 with Wyoming at Utah State. They're a game away from bowl eligibility. They won four straight at the end of last season and got frozen out of the bowl bidding process. There's a big motivation angle here for Wyoming at Utah State, so take the points. Navy plus 7 at Notre Dame. They've had 2 weeks to get ready for this game. They're averaging 357 rush yards per game this season. That's number one in college football. 2 weeks of prep, like I said. And get this, last five games, Navy scored 35, 45, 35, 41, and 56. How can you score that many points five games in a row and get 7 unless you're at LSU or Alabama? I'll take the points with Navy. And then finally, if you want to get involved, sprinkle on Bama minus 17.5. It's a big number at Mississippi State, but Saban's going to have them rallying to come back off that loss to try to get back into playoff contention. So Iowa minus 3, Baylor plus 10.5, Wyoming plus 5.5, Navy plus 7, and a little bit on Bama minus 17.5.
Joe, you are the best. Thank you, brother.
Have a great weekend, Joe.
Love you, boys. Go Pelicans.
Joe, something
That's
else.
Funny.
Dustin, you are insane. All right, we got Eddie Jackson joining us next. We'll talk to the Bears safety about the big game. It's Mullion Hall on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.